Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Wim Hof Wednesday. Today, I would love to introduce you to my classmate who I went through the master's module just in September of 2021. This great friend who has taught me so much about the physics of, about our body when it comes to the Wim Hof breathing, the horse stance, and just knowing that there's someone out there who cares about those fine details in tuning of our body to give us the maximum effort, and more importantly, to know the mind body connection. He has opened up several gyms in China. He's very in tune with his own body, but he also teaches with functional patterns. And if anyone doesn't know what functional patterns, he'll go into detail about that today. And is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu fighter, or at least he was a professional, and now he's sharing his knowledge with the world. I would love to introduce my classmate, my friend, Julian. Please, everyone, get your right hand and get your left hand, and then bang them together and welcome on the stage, please. Julian, thank you so much for being here.
Wow, what a crazy stage.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks so much. I wasn't hoping so much warm welcome. Can you guys see me and hear me? It's everything okay? Yeah? Okay, cool. So thanks, Francesco. It's been an honor being there with you also, with Bernard, with Matt, with Ricardo, with Odin. All you guys are part of my Wim Hof family instructors. Nice to meet Yati and Pavla. I'm happy to see you guys have some interest in the posture and the breath work, of course. So I'd like to start my my conversation, my topic, with a story. Going back to 1992, I was 12 years old. I was living in India, in Bombay. And my father, we used to work there as an accountant for a big company. So we had a very nice life. And we were sitting at the table, we were having lunch. And this is the first picture of, you know, coming back to my mind, having this dinner. And all of a sudden, my father raised his voice and said, "Tiens-toi droit." And "tiens-toi droit" in French means stand up straight, you know? And during my childhood, all the time, especially when we were eating, this sentence came back, "Tiens-toi droit," stand up straight. Tu es bossu. Tu es bossu means you're hunched. And in spite of trying to stand up straight, each time normality would come back and have me in this hunched posture, because maybe I wasn't paying attention, or maybe my body wasn't strong enough. Simply hunched like this would make me feel bad, because my father would always remind me, and my mother too. So as a kid, this was pretty much what was happening. I was always being reminded to sit up straight. And so as you leave the familial nest, you know, and you start to take your wings and fly off like a bird, as you want to take off, you want to be able to extend also and lift your wings and start to fly, to take off. And then at some point, as you fly off, you want to be able to stabilize and still maintain this gliding effect throughout your life. And sometimes, because of the winds, just because of the events of your life, you're forced to go back down and land, sometimes smooth, sometimes crash. And I think this is the beauty of life. There's always ups and downs, but whatever it is, you want to maintain posture. You want to stand strong and you want to stand straight. So my name is Julian. I'm a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu instructor. And for the moment, I've been teaching Jiu-Jitsu for 15 years and also doing the Wim Hof method since 2017. And like Francesco mentioned it, I'm also into postural breath work. So I kind of specialize in breath work with postural assessment, because that's what I do. I try to help people to get in better shape with their posture. So I train with the functional patterns, which I certified myself last October. I went to Helsinki, and it's been a huge boost for my Wim Hof method practice, because as you guys know, there are three pillars. And as a Wim Hof instructor, as you guys are Wim Hof instructors, you should know we have the breathing, we have the mindset, which I also call the physical preparation, and the mental preparation, because body and mind is connected, right? And then the third is the ice. Now, those three are interdependent, right? You wouldn't say that one is more important than the other, because the three are connected, right? But then, in my opinion, there's another pillar, which is more of a foundational pillar that I add to my practice, which is the posture. And in my seminars, in my workshops, it's something also that I emphasize a lot on, because I feel there's room for improvement for myself and for everybody, actually. You know, every time that I assess myself, I feel, oh, I still have improvement. I still have a long way to go. And when it comes to the people that I see in my workshops, I've done two workshops so far. The first one was a very big success. I had 12 people. I was really happy. Everything went fine. Maybe you guys saw the pictures. And the second one, I only had one person. I was all the way back there in Galway with Joseph, one of my friends from the certification. And only one guy came. But that one guy that came had the chance of being able to experiment the postural breath work much more than the others, because I could focus my attention on him. And it revealed itself as being a big success for me. So turning the negative into the positive from this event, okay, even though I was far from home, I was far from comfort, I was able to work with him and get a good output on my methods on postural breath work and, of course, on the Wim Hof method. So three pillars: breathing, the cold, the mindset. But the main pillar for me is posture. Now, why would I emphasize so much on posture? It's because if you have a good alignment, think of it as a pipe, right? So if you have a pipe that goes up and down and turns and curves, and then you put water through it, what are the chances that the water will flow progressively and very smoothly compared to a pipe that's just straight? Okay, I think this is simple to visualize, that the water runs through the pipe straight. And the same thing happens with our body, with our spine. If we're able to align it, and remember that their spine has on top of it all the organs, all the skeleton, and on it, you have, of course, the breathing, okay? So I'd like to share a screen here if I have, maybe the host disabled participant. Francesco, can I share some pictures, please? I need you to put me the main host.
Sure, and maybe you can share your screen right now.
Okay, let me try again. Okay, cool. So I'm gonna share the desktop. Okay, guys, can you see my very messy desktop? Okay, yeah. Cool. So let's start off, yeah. Let's start off with, let's start off with this picture of this man. Okay, so this guy here, you see, his name is Thomas Myers. He's the founder of the Anatomy Trains. Okay, I'll send a link later on in the group if you want. Anatomy Trains talks about all the myofascial connections in the body, the different lines of our muscular, neuromuscular system, and how the body works as a whole. Okay, he's the one who talks a lot about the tensegrity concepts, the tensegrity. So what you see in his hand, this kind of ball made of sticks with ropes connected with each other, shows how the forces actually work together, and that our body is the same in a way, that we don't just work in isolation muscles, we work it as a whole. So Coming back to the Thomas Myers and why I feel he's so interesting is because he explains the body and the way it connects with all the muscles and the breathing as a whole. And I feel this is a very important thing for us Wim Hof instructors when we teach breathing and letting go. It should be also control yourself, control your abdominal region, control your thorax, make sure that your spine is extended and decompressed. There's a lot happening inside of us when we're breathing. And for that, I'd like to share some of my insight. So here on this other picture of Thomas Myers, everybody can see the picture? Yeah, okay. So you can see Thomas Myers with this person. And the three main parts that for me is relevant for posture, okay? So when it comes to posture, for someone who works in the postural assessment domain, you wanna be watching three main things. The first is the hips, okay? The hip positioning. Second is gonna be the core. And then third is going to be the thoracic, okay? You have the head, you have the arms, you have the legs, but just like in the, you know, when we talk about the after drop, when somebody goes in the cold, what is the first thing that happens to the blood is to flush within the region where it's, where the body needs to preserve heat in the vital part, right? So meaning that we can function without the legs, we can function without the arms. Well, we need to function with the head so the head can be cut off. But globally speaking, the posture depends on the alignment of the pelvis, the core, and the thorax. Okay? Okay, let me close this. So earlier on, I was talking to you about the muscles, right? So within the body, you have different lines. You have different forces that are circulating in the body, and those are divided into different lines. So one of the very most important lines, actually they're all important, but one line that stands out the most for me is the deep front line, because the deep front line is linked to the breathing pattern, as it is the deep front line, the diaphragm, the thorax, the connection with the neck, all of this is connected. Therefore, it's very important to maybe take the time and maybe not dissect, but identify the muscles that are linked with the breathing, okay? So if you have any questions later on, we can get back to it, because guys, this book is 350 pages. Obviously, it's very difficult for me to summarize it in just 20 minutes, but at least you guys can get an overall idea, okay, of what the tensegrity concept is and how posture and breathing go hand in hand, okay? Now, what I find is relevant for us today is to understand in this picture, the link between posture and your breathing, okay? So as an instructor, when you have people coming in and they're lying down, if you're not paying attention to their posture, you're not paying attention to how they're breathing actually, okay? Let's just put it this way. Because when you're breathing, there's a mechanism happening in your body, meaning that your pelvis is anteriorly pelvic shifting or posterior pelvic shifting, meaning it's moving up as you breathe, this motion, very subtly, but it's moving. Same thing goes here for the psoas. The psoas muscle is that muscle that connects to your hips all the way down. You see all the way down to the femur. And then you have the upper part, which is the thoracic. In the thorax, as you know, you have the lungs where the gas exchange happens. The diaphragm is more like a pump. So when you're breathing in oxygen, you're not just breathing with your lungs. The suction of the oxygen happens because your diaphragm is expanding towards the bottom therefore sucking in oxygen and allowing the gas exchange to happen, okay? And one more thing is that the very interesting fact is, as you can see, this red part here, this is the psoas muscle, which is the hip flexor. The hip flexor connects on the last thoracic. So here in green, just to make it quick, okay? I don't want to go too much into anatomy, but you have 24 vertebrae. You have 7 cervicals. You have 12 thoracics. So thoracic are the blue ones here. And then the purple are the lumbar region, right? So the diaphragm, which is right here, the psoas actually connects with the diaphragm on the 12th rib. So it shows the interconnection between your hip flexors, your thoracic extension, and your diaphragm. Everything is connected, right? So this means that when you're breathing, you're actually engaging your hips, you're engaging your core big time, and you're engaging also your thorax. Now, let's get to something that maybe allows you to understand even better what I'm talking about. This picture is from the anatomy trains once again. I took a course to learn about the trigger points and how to release them, because sometimes what happens is that people's pattern of breathing is obstructed by trigger points. Trigger points are virtually like knots that are in your muscles, so that when you're breathing, a lot of things are happening, right? Your thorax is extending, your hip is opening, your back is also contracting, your lats is extending. So much stuff happening inside the body. But in order to fine tune it, you have to release certain muscles. Okay, so this is called myofascial release. I talked about this with Ricardo when Ricardo, he came up once on the forum. He said, "Hey, I'm nervous because I'm gonna have this meeting and I have to talk." And he was asking, "What should I do to release the pressure, etc." I was writing on to the forum, I say, "Hey, Ricardo, maybe you should try MFR." And this is what I'm going to discuss right here. So the breathing into the lower cavities, this, I think, from the whole conversation that we're having today, this is the thing that I'd like for you guys to remember, because it's the simplest. So think of it as chambers. Think of it as steps. When you breathe in, when Wim guides us, he says through the belly, chest, head, and letting go. So it's very visual, right? The belly expanding, the chest and the head, and then letting go. So everybody knows about this. Now there's something that I noticed when I was in Poland, and I wish I could have told people, but then it's quite delicate because you're just like them. You're an instructor learning to become an instructor. And sometimes this can be like a little bit offensive because it might sound like you might know more than them, or it's arrogant, but it's a fact that if you're not breathing with the proper mechanics, you're actually exacerbating your problem or your dysfunctions, because breathing is pretty much the base of everything. So anyways, going into the different chambers of breathing, I'd like you just to sit down where you are comfortable and just breathe with me as I talk through the nose and relax. Breathe in through the nose and relax. Now you are here in your first chamber, which is at the top. And relax. Now, secondly, we're going to go into the oral chamber, which is the mouth. So remember Wim, he tells us you can breathe in through the nose or you can breathe in through the mouth. That's the second one. Now, the third one, pharyngeal. I want you to remember Star Wars with Darth Vader. I am your father. And that's the third chamber, connecting the first, the second, and the third already. The fourth one would be the thoracic. Thoracic being your lungs, where the gas exchange happens, remember? So very simple, you can already visualize you breathing through the nose or the mouth, into the throat, into the lungs, allowing your rib cage to expand and contract, expand and contract laterally, front and posterior as well. So all dimensions of your thorax can extend. And then we can go down into the abdominal region, a very big region, also called the abdominal balloon, where we breathe in through the belly. So now we have already connected five chambers. And the sixth one is, I believe, the one that most of us forget, and I often forget it, is the pelvic floor. The pelvic floor, the one which is at the bottom, okay? So when you go to the bathroom, obviously that's the last chamber in which you can actually not breathe, but you can get oxygen in, all right? I won't get into the details because that's a little bit gross, but you understand what I'm getting at, okay? So this is the enhancement and the optimization of your breathing. When you're lying down and you're able to visualize this, you're able to contract all the chambers, you're able to fill in all the chambers, and therefore align the spine, because this goes all the way. You know, the spine, as you know, is the highway of our nervous system. It goes all the way up from the head, all the way down to the pelvis. And where there's air, there's a form of life. And I think if you see the picture, it's very clear to see that the spine runs along the path where there's oxygen too. So it's very important to be able to visualize, identify those chambers, and oxygenize them with your breath and with your mind, okay? So whenever I'm doing a breathing session with people, I try to make them visualize those chambers, you know? Even though it might sound a little bit complicated at first, it's brought a lot of, realization on people's posture. They come up to me after the session, say, hey, you know, I felt my spine, I felt it decompress, because we're applying pressure. We're applying pressure, but in a different fashion, right? So this is also found in other places. You can discuss about this also in yoga, right? So yoga, they call them chakras, but in my opinion, it's the same thing as the chambers, okay? It's just that it's a bit more spiritual. But if you visualize this seven chakras, it actually corresponds to the breathing pattern and the different chambers when we breathe. So in yoga, they call this the Mula Bandha. I don't know. So I think, Yati, you do yoga for some time. You must have heard of this. The Mula Bandha is actually the optimization of that chamber and the contraction in order to keep the spine erect and get into a position where you can apply force and, and get into stretching and do all those stuff that's in yoga. I myself practice functional patterns, which is a system based on posture. And the three main components while we're doing this is, of course, the chamber activation when you breathe and the glute activation, the core and the thorax. Okay, so those are the three main points of what allows us to be standing upright and to have proper posture. And if you're able to maintain those three while you breathe, so the core activation means you're not just ballooning your stomach, you're actually engaging your obliques, you're engaging your rectus abdominis, which is your abs, and the transverse, which is kind of the envelope around your waist, then you're gonna get good activation. But before we finish, guys, because I don't want to get too boring, I don't want to get too repetitive, I'd like you guys to try for yourself to release some muscles of your breathing. So first, I want you guys to take your thumb this way. Come on, everybody, raise your hands up. Lift them in the air. I want you to turn them and insert the thumb right here in your neck. Yeah, and catch catch your neck behind yourself, just like so. And I want you to stand straight and breathe in and press with your thumb as you breathe in through those chambers. And press and press. You should feel some pain. Just find that muscle, the sternocleidomastoid or the scalene muscles. Those are the muscles right here in front. They're very tense from us being all day long on the computer, from all day long driving or eating or sitting at a table. And I just want you guys to move and nod your head a little bit as you breathe in and press with your thumb. You should feel a little bit sore. Deeply in and letting go. And as you let go, you want to press even a little bit more and feel all those tensions release. Now, second, we're going to go to the pecs, still with the thumb. See, this is very practical. And this is what I do with my participants, and they pretty much enjoy it. I want you guys to do the chicken. You're going to put the thumb underneath your pectoralis right here. And you're going to insert and pull and press strong inside. You should feel some kind of trigger, a little bit of pain. And that's okay. Don't go too hard. Just make sure you feel that tension, and then you breathe in into your thorax, expand your chest, and letting go. Once again, try to feel those triggers and relax. One more time, fully in. And take the time to massage and feel the tensions and let go. Now, we're gonna do a third one. So I'm just gonna show the rib cage. You wanna grasp with your fingers like a claw, just like so, and press. This is the upper abs. Gently now, and breathe in and extend your rib cage. And let go. Just massaging gently here. And the last one, you can take your thumbs into your iliac crest. So the iliac crest is that bone you have here that makes kind of like a vase, you know? And you want to press in there and breathe in deep. And letting go. Side to side. Oops. I'm viewing Ricardo's... Sorry. Okay. Well, anyways, I finished. So, Francesco, any questions, bro?
Thank you so much, Julian. Those few breaths. First of all, it was really beautiful to see your chest and your belly. I miss seeing you with that shirt. No, but seriously, wonderful presentation. I really appreciate doing the actual practice myself. I got really into it. And yeah, I have a bunch of questions, and I always do this for every week, but I would love to invite everyone here with us first. Yati, Benyad, Odin, Ricardo, and Matt, Pavla, Benad, Bob again. Nice to see you, Bob. And ask any questions regarding how this relates, whether to the Wim Hof breathing or not. And get these questions out there, because you have Julian right now in living digital color to answer the questions.
Yeah, let's share the knowledge here.
Yes, my question, it's a good time now to ask?
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect, thank you. So on my next meeting tomorrow, I have an interval training. In the most basic way, how to help the people visualize the five areas, or so how would you use it to direct the energy on the breathing when we do maybe I will use it in the warm up before I do the Wim Hof. So I do a few one or two rounds of warming up, usually one round. So I think in this round, this will be the time to integrate this knowledge with the posture, talk about the posture. And my question is how to help the people understand the area, to visualize the areas of breath, okay. Chambers.
I got your question very well. The thing is, how long do you have to make them feel it? And it's not always obvious because people, you know, they're not self-aware of their body. I have people, man, they come to me, they say, I have pain. And I say, where do you have pain? And they say, somewhere around here. And I said, but could you describe me what it is? And they're not capable of doing so. Everybody's different. Some people that come and say, oh yeah, it's the inside of my trochanter and the femur, and like, it's okay, pinpoint, perfect, I know. But some guys, they come, they have absolutely no clue how to describe things. So what I would do, I like to use visual cues. So the reference would be to first lie them down in a comfortable position and have them visualize their spine. So if you know a little bit of anatomy, you know that there's the sacrum, there's 5 lumbar, there's 12 thoracic, 7 cervicals, and you can guide them through the breathing, decompressive breathing, by having them lying down on their spine and visiting their body through through the breath work and through the description. This is how I do it. I say, okay, lie down, visualize your lumbar region. The lumbar region is, there are 5 lumbar, and you can slowly start to decompress. And meanwhile, be aware that there's the pelvic floor there. Maybe you can feel it right underneath your genitals, and you can breathe into that region. This is where you came out from, and blah, blah, blah. And blah. So you kind of make up the story, but you want to identify the chamber. So I believe if you've done yoga for a certain amount of time, you should be able to describe anatomically those parts, you know, with your knowledge, with your experience, and just take the time to go over the 6 chambers, you know, because once they connect to the 6 chambers, their breathing pattern is not going to be, how do you say, excessive or deficient, you know. And this is what I noticed, because when I see people breathing like this, inspires me stress. It doesn't inspire me something positive for them. So if I can help those people and tell them, look, I understand you want to bring in as much oxygen as you can because Wim says it's blah, 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 blah. The first thing is, it's not how much you breathe, it's how well you breathe, right? So if they have this visual cue in mind, if they have this this track, you know, like you guide them through this, the whole session after is going to be even better because they're going to be able to visualize it, you know?
Yeah.
Does this answer your question?
Yeah. Very good with the visualization on the spine, decompressing.
Yeah. And you know, I would like to give one story that I tell people. Recently, there's one astronaut and several other astronauts that went into space, and one of them was French, right? And when he landed back after 6 months being in Spain, in space, he actually grew 7 centimeters. 7 centimeters, because in the space there is no gravity. So when he landed, because his body was all decompressed, he needed 2 days to recompress his spine. You see, and this is where posture shows that the gravity that where we live in on this earth has an impact on our spine. And if we're able to breathe properly with the concept that I just discussed with all of you guys, you're able actually to decompress your spine. You know, I often post my pictures of my evolution because I have scoliosis, I had 6 surgeries, I have a very fucked up back, but with the functional patterns and with the Wim Hof, I was able to decompress my spine and align it very well. So I just hope you can make good use of it, because for me, it has huge benefits. As much as the Wim Hof method has benefits, working on your posture has tremendous effects on on your life as in general. Yeah. So Yati, that was my answer.
Thank you so much, Yati. Great question. And I do have a quick question, if you don't mind, and I would love to hear other people's questions as well, but where can we learn more about what you're sharing, whether from you or from your post online, to see the evolution, your evolution, the people you're helping, but how can we also learn it for our practice if we want to incorporate this into...
Okay, so my advice would be, if you like reading, the book Anatomy Trains is one of the best ways to start. I can put it online. I downloaded it for free, so why would I, want to? I can share it. It is material. You have to know about physiology and biology and anatomy. But if you're interested in it, man, you're gonna love it because this is like caviar. But then the best way, and this is no joke, if you have access to a functional patterns certified instructor, go and train once with him, because he's gonna open up your mind on how your body is connected with its breath, for example, and its core and all that stuff. And from that point on, you will get the motivation, because it's always a question of starting something and going through it. If you just have an interest, but then you kind of like, you just look at it and then you leave it on the side, you won't get the benefits from it, because you have to go into it. And the best way to get hooked, so that you have motivation to do it, I believe you go see a certified instructor of the functional patterns, because, man, those guys are biomechanics specialists. HBS means human biomechanics specialist. One session is like the price you pay for a yoga session or for a breathing session. It's $70, $80. Some are more expensive, of course, but generally speaking, it's affordable. And the output that you get from it, man, it's... I traveled just for that to Netherlands and to Ireland, just to get a first contact with those experts. And I fixed my posture by 30, 40%, just like so,
Wow, so, thank you. So you're saying that people would have a different experience if they knew the posture or have better posture for their breathing? Would you confirm that?
Man, I confirmed that 100%. And maybe that sounds a little bit arrogant, but if you're not breathing the right way, you're not making progress, and you might actually be compromising your health even more. Because like I said, breathing is linked to emotions, right? We all know this. You can breathe in, but how do you breathe is going to affect your organs, is going to affect your chemistry. If it's not done in the right way, it can actually create tensions in the body. And those tensions, they would stay, especially when that we go in the cold. The cold is gonna create what we call the body, when it goes into cold, the first 10 to 20 seconds, we go into a shock, right? And this shock, on a physical standpoint of view, it's called a startle reflex. The startle reflex is if somebody was behind you and shot with a gun, you would immediately... If I was to be from the side, you would do this, okay? This is called the startle reflex. And whenever you go in the cold, if you're not completely relaxed, if you're not aligned, if you're not centered, and you go in the cold and you're like hunched over and you go like this, that's more of a depressive, well, this is my opinion, okay? And maybe some of you guys will not agree, I'm okay. But when you go into the cold and you make yourself like a ball, you're actually closing yourself. You're actually going into more of a, in terms of breathing pattern, you're going into a depression, a depressive, a flexion. When you go into an extension, you go into pride, you go into joy, which can also be bad. If you go too much into extension, it's over joy, You want to kind of find the middle ground and somewhere in between of that spectrum, you want to be in the middle, you want to be centered. So whenever I go into the cold, I try to stand tall. I try to stand straight, even if the cold is fucking, overwhelming me. I find my center through breathing and through the posture, not just the breathing, through the posture and my grounding.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Anyone else have any questions? Because this is definitely, this is gold. For me, at least, I could see this being really gold.
Guys, when people come in and they're scared, I remember my first ice bath, I was in Stroh, actually, I was with Wim. And I was buddy with the guy, and they told us, yeah, this guy's gonna go in the cold, and you gotta coach him, right? I'm like, fuck, what am I gonna tell this guy? I don't know how. I never did an ice bath myself, you know. And I just told him, you know, focus on your diaphragm. Sit up straight, breathe in, focus on the line, focus, you're a pillar. Bro, the guy came out of the water. He told me that coaching you did was amazing. Just me visualizing this pillar straight and proud made me go through this ice bath like this, you know? And so I think the mental part is really important when you're guiding someone in the cold. If he's not convinced that he is strong and you know, like comfortable with himself in a good posture, and you know, there's many thoughts going through the mind, right? And if you're in sort of a body, you know, body language, if you're like this, you're not confident here. You're like, okay, you're protecting yourself, but you can't fight the cold, right? You have to embrace it. So kind of way, for me, it makes sense to go in the water and try to be as open as possible, but at the same time, be structurally sound.
Thank you. I imagine that moment of the guy in the water, and I can see myself in that situation. I'm sure those people other here can feel the same way for their participants and for themselves. Yeah, we have a few more minutes for one last question, if that's okay.
Yeah, I think Pavla wanted to say something. Ladies first, come on.
Sorry. Hi, Julian. I'll be quick. Thank you very much for this. It was very interesting. Can you hear me well?
Yeah. Go for it.
I'm interested in the link between the breathing, the diaphragm, and the pelvic floor, because I was actually coincidentally reading about it recently in a book by Dr. Belissa, maybe you know her, and she actually mentions how important it is when we breathe in, because obviously the diaphragm goes down, to relax the pelvic floor, because they move together, and it has to, you don't want to move against each other, you want to, when you're making space with the diaphragm, you have to relax pelvic floor. And, you know, when we do the last inhale, and sometimes we, you know, we do the squeeze and stuff, we're really pulling we're engaging the root lock, doing the Malabandha, yeah? So we're pulling the pelvic floor up. And I was wondering, what's your take on that?
Well, yes, exactly what you just said. When you do the breathing and you get into the last section, I feel personally the Mulabandha of the perineum. So you contract the pelvic floor is gonna stabilize your base so that you can contract your core, and then the core is gonna allow you to contract the thorax into the chest, into the neck, into the head. So you see, the six chambers for me is like a reference point. Whenever I'm breathing, I'm thinking about chambers. I'm not thinking just about breathing and getting high, which is still my pleasant objective. But my objective would be, to make sure that the pelvic floor, and to bounce back on your pelvic floor story, in France, there's a very famous hospital in which, Thomas Meyer speaks about that when women are about to give birth, they actually start singing, because the pelvic floor is related to this region of the neck. If you make a sort of a comparison, they say that this part is the vocal cords and all of this region of the jaw is actually related to the pelvis. So that's why women, before they would give birth, they would actually sing to warm up their pelvic floor in order to give birth. So yeah, the pelvic floor is the base, you know, it's like the bottom of the vase. And if it's not stable, all the rest is not gonna be stable. So the way you would wanna do it as you breathe in, you wanna actually contract your sphincter, you know, all that region of the perineum, the pelvic floor, you wanna be able to contract it. And you can visualize it when you breathe in. I mean, this is my experience. I've done it for some time, so obviously it's easier for me to relate. But for someone who just starts, I would just, you know, visualize those pelvic the different chambers, but maybe each one at a time, because it can be overwhelming. Like you were saying, when you breathe in the last one, maybe start with the pelvic floor, because it's where you're gonna receive all the water in the vase, right? If your body would be a vase, the pelvic floor would be the base of that vase, yeah?
There is a difference breathing, the first breathing, when you're breathing in and out, and then when there is the hold on the inhale. And I was referring to both because she stresses on the importance, actually, when there is the breathing in and out, that the pelvic floor has to go in the same direction like the diaphragm.
Yeah, exactly. So when you breathe in,
you agree with that,
your diaphragm goes down, right? So, but at the same time,
I relax the pelvic floor, she says,
I don't relax completely. But I'm not contracting like an ass either, but I'm trying to engage it all the time, though, because this is where I stabilize my body and my spine. So at least that's how I do it.
There is a good question in the chat actually about the horse stance. And when we were instructors in Poland, there was a yoga teacher, experienced one with us. And she actually mentioned that, I don't know if they mentioned it now in the course, but she said it should be mentioned that some women who suffer with the prolapse of the pelvic floor, they shouldn't do the horse stance.
Well, you know, let me tell you one story. I have a hip impingement, which is very, very annoying. And I have trouble doing the horse stance sometimes. But in spite of that, I'm actually quite good at the horse stance because I understand which muscles you can activate in order to generate heat in the adductors and then, you know, in the body right here. And all it takes is the glutes, you know, so the butt muscles, if you activate them properly, so if you know how to engage them properly, you get a good pelvic floor retention and you don't get any prolapse. So if I could give you one advice with 3 points, it's the glutes, the core, and the thorax. And then you do whatever you want. May it be the breathing, may it be going into the ice or doing the what's it called? The horse stance, right?
Well, thank you so much, Pavlov Yati, for your questions. And I'm gonna have to cut this off, but I want you guys to know that I really, really appreciate you all being here. If everyone could please give a round of applause for Julian for his wonderful presentation. Julian, thank you so much. Please,
well done, brother.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, thank you, Julian. It was awesome.
Yeah, guys, I'm very pleased if I could help. And I'm wishing you guys a good practice, good seminars. It's not easy, you know, with the COVID and all that stuff, but keep the motivation.
Thank you.
And whatever happens, keep doing them, even if one or two people come, because in the end, what matters is your practice and your experience.
Thank you, Julian. That means a lot. And is it okay if everyone here or anyone watching this video contacts you to?
Oh, bro, I'm open, man. I need people to contact me because I'm doing seminars and workshops, and I'm planning to travel again in Europe. Maybe go to Italy and do some stuff there. But anytime anyone has any question, you don't even ask. You just send me a message on WhatsApp or Instagram. And you know, I'm like you, Francesco. I'm all about the sharing and the caring, and this is what makes us grow as people and as instructors.
Thank you, man. Well, on that note, I want to thank you all. Thank you for always coming, everybody, and keep spreading the word about these Wim Hof Wednesdays, because we're learning everyone's speciality by coming together, and maybe if we have a Wim Hof reunion, we can get these hands-on trainings, or we could watch you online, or we could contact you directly. So if anyone in here is interested in joining a Wim Hof Wednesday in January, please let me know, because your specialty is something I want to hear and many other people want to hear. So Julian, thank you for your time and for coming. For anyone who doesn't know, Julian just did his presentation in 2 days, and he came through for a last minute when I didn't have anyone I had someone canceled, but he came through and he gave an amazing presentation. So thank you, and thank you. Have a good night, everybody, and I hope to see you next week.
Guys, I miss you all the guys in my group here. You guys are amazing. Yeah. And see you soon,
buddy.
Hey, Ricardo, beleza, irmão?
Beleza, tá tudo beleza aí, Julian.
Oh, guys.
Ciao, ciao. Yeah,
okay. Thank you, Julian. Thank you, Francesco.
Thank you, guys. I'll send
such important stuff, man.
Thank you, Francesco. Yeah, I'll send pictures in the group, right? So if you guys want the pictures, you just take them from the group, okay?
Please. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Ciao, ciao. Thanks, guys. So much.